Johnson Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. A new wildfire has broken out in the mountains northwest of Los Angeles, prompting a mandatory evacuation order. This man fled his home in Castaic.
I saw it, and it was growing. It was growing big. It was a bunch of fire.
CBS News Los Angeles reporter Amanda Starantino says the windswept fire named the Hughes Fire has burned about 8 square miles in just a few hours.
Water dropping aircraft are starting to come into the area. We have several ordered for this area. Hankers on scene too. Engines are going through. They are working very quickly to get all hands on deck here. We're seeing it come over, going right into the wind as well. So these guys super talented to make sure that water gets dropped onto those flames.
Not everyone is heeding the evacuation order.
I'm just going to watch it and see if it gets close. If it gets close, I'll go. But right now, I don't feel threatened.
Southern California could get some badly needed rain over the weekend, but that's raising the possibility of mudslides down fire-scorched slopes and toxic ash runoff. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community. WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin residents are paying smaller and smaller portions of their income to taxes, but that's a double-edged sword, as cities, towns, and counties can't keep up with inflation. Savannah Tome Olson breaks it down.
Wisconsinites are paying the lowest tax burden in more than 50 years. That's according to new analysis from the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum. The tax burden is the ratio between our income and what we pay in taxes. In 2024, it was 9.6%. That's the lowest in Wisconsin since at least 1970. According to researchers, it's because the state's income is growing while lawmakers are making, quote, aggressive efforts, end quote, to keep taxes low. Overall, taxes paid to the state grew 1.6% in 2024. Meanwhile, local government taxes grew 2.7%. Revenue limits from state lawmakers have led to slower tax increases, but they've also created a situation where municipalities' revenue grows slower than inflation. That's a large part of what causes cities to propose referendums. It illustrates the larger trend here in Wisconsin. Residents may be paying less, but over time, their communities may raise taxes anyway locally to cover expenses. The state currently has a $4 billion surplus.
The Wisconsin Rapids Common Council did not pass the ATV-UTV ordinance at last night's meeting, but the discussion is not over. The ordinance has been tabled until a later meeting, but with no specific date. However, the ordinance will need to be on the agenda before it can be brought up again to either vote up, down, or back to committee. City Attorney Sue Scheel said they will need to figure out what is happening with Griffith Avenue, which the county has designated as an open ATV-UTV trail. A section of Griffith goes through city property, and law enforcement needs to know how and what to enforce there for recreational vehicle traffic. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bears' new head coach takes a shot at Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Lions offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, introduced today as the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. Johnson had this to say about his time with the Lions and beating the Packers.
And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Basketball. The NBA has called off tonight's game between the Bucks and the Pelicans because of the winter storm that has dumped up to a foot of snow in New Orleans. The game to be rescheduled at a later date. The Wisconsin Badgers returning home after losing last night to UCLA in a close one, 85-83. Marquette with a decisive win over Seton Hall, 76-59. Cam Jones back on track, scoring 19 points after struggling over the weekend against Xavier. Head coach Shaka Smart.
You know, if you think about it, his role has changed so much, but I've got to make sure I help him understand that heavy is the head that wears the crown, and there's no two people that applies to in this program more than him and me.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Here's to a Wisconsin winter you will always remember. To playing outdoors in a winter wonderland. Here's to cozying up around the fire and holding someone close. And to staying downtown, where the food scene makes your heart sing. And to celebrating moments frozen in time. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered flurries with clearing late, a low close to zero. Sunny and colder tomorrow, a high only of 10 above, but low 20s with sun Friday. Partly sunny but warm for January into the weekend, highs upper 20s. currently 21 degrees.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison film critic Rob Thomas and the guy who shared the booth with Bob Uecker in Major League, hilarious comedian Skip Kirparis. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this January 22nd, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today, we're going to speak with our friend Ann Lee Peck from the ODC Opportunity Development Center. Love talking with them. Always a good conversation with Lance Pummel. He's in with us today, Wood County Board Chairman. We want to send a shout out to, of course, to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Big thank you to them. Be sure to do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, and keep up to the great work they are doing over there. Lance, how you been?
Good, James. Thanks for the welcome. It's always great to be here and have this conversation.
Yeah, I appreciate the time with you, man. We're going to talk about a couple of things today. We'll get into the ATV-UTV ordinance from last night. We will talk a little bit about the Board of Supervisors meeting recently. But I wanted to start with what is going on with the Sierra Park. Being in this area for over 20 years and everything, I certainly have known that. I pass it every time I go to see my daughter at Point. And I've noticed, like many people, I think, over the years, that it doesn't seem as busy as it used to be. And it seems that things have changed over there. But I don't know how much it's common knowledge of the changes that have happened over there. And I feel like it's a huge headline to me, but I haven't talked to too many people that have heard much about what is going on, not only with that, but with our here in Wood County.
Yeah, Jane, it's a really big deal for us. You know, we constantly look at those recreational opportunities. How do we bring tourism into the area in a variety of ways? Because we see that as the quickest way to build the area, to increase revenues, and just to grow our population. You know, as people see the attributes that we have, we hope that maybe they decide to move here, open their business. But Sierra Park, many of you are familiar because Sierra, C-E-R-A, you know, was the Consolidated Employees recreation area. And it was extremely well used, well maintained for many, many years. But as Consolidated Papers and all of the subsequent ownership occurred, there was a lot of, you know, deferred maintenance and other things that just didn't happen. And the park was used some extent less. It was not maintained at the level it was way back. At one time, it was, you know, really a jewel of a park. So we were approached and said, you know, the whole purpose of this park and some of the FERC regulations, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commissions, are there has to be recreational use of these properties. And who better to provide that than probably the county and public access to this park other than just the employee group? So we were on board right away. And it was a really great deal, I think, for everybody because the park will be improved. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there'll be public access. The cost of the county, other than the maintenance, you know, updating and stuff like that, was relatively zero. This is a 2-year lease agreement to comply with the FERC regulations and then ownership at that point transferred to the county. But we'll have the additional sites there, hopefully have some additional docks for boats. We have riverfront access, which takes some of the pressure off of the water facilities we have at Lake Wasicha. So, you know, I just think this is going to be a win-win for everybody. It will certainly spur economic development. It provides us with more campsites because as you travel around, you see Southwood County Park's full a lot of time. And then take some of the pressure off of a smaller lake like Wasicha and move some of that boat traffic up to the river. So we're really looking forward to this.
It's a the opportunity is too good to pass up. It's one of those kind of situations, and it's such a smart investment too, as you've kind of laid out for us there. One of the things that I think is exciting about this is certainly all the things you mentioned, having more revenue opportunities for that and everything. It's one of the biggest topics in any rural community is how do you get more economic, how do you get more of an economic boom? How do you get more businesses? All of this. Here's something that I don't want to say it fell into our lap, but it kind of was just sitting right there and the opportunity presented itself. And you guys were, everybody was smart enough to jump on this, I think. One of the cool things to me about this, Lance, is I don't know that that area has been even, the surface has even been scratched on it. Like, I feel like there's so many things that over the months and years ahead, we may see, oh, there's another great opportunity for this, or here's something. It's the stuff that we haven't even thought of yet that I think is really exciting about this, just as much as the ownership change that's going on.
Yeah, you know, when we look at development of a park, even when we looked at expansion at Lake Wasecha and Southwood County Park, we're looking at multi-million dollar projects. I mean, we're talking like $4, $6, $8 million as we go forward and develop campsites. Well, there will be upgrades needed there, electrical and other, but it's there. And that opportunity to provide that also on that side of the river, you know, which is a great location as we have people coming in from that direction. But I touched on this a little bit last night. I happened to attend a Wisconsin Rapids City Council meeting. And there was a report from the Heart of Wisconsin, and they said the one thing that they noticed, it was at the top of their list, was lacking in our area right here, and I'm speaking specifically to Southwood County, was a lack of identity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the boards I sit on is our North Central Tourism Board. Mm-hmm. And tourism is going to be the quickest way to revitalize an economy. And, you know, why have people put their, whether it's their boats, their trailers, their ATVs, UTVs on a trailer and go way up north when we have the ability to be that mecca right here in central Wisconsin? And this park plays into that perfectly because of all the opportunities. So not only to come to the park, and generally our camping revenues make those parks pretty revenue neutral. They're not necessarily profitable in and of themselves, but then those people spend money in our grocery stores, at our gas stations, you know, occasionally part of the other families at a hotel where we derive room tax. So, I mean, it's a tremendous boom to the area when we have those opportunities. And this came along at a very affordable price and at the right time.
It's something that they're working really hard on now to, of course, make it safe and make sure that everything is set and ready to go when it does open and we bring it to the community. Another thing that I thought was important coming out of the articles that I read about this was the idea that they want to improve it, but also keep the honor the history of the area. And I think that's unique, and that's great to see as well.
Yeah, I mean, this park has a long history, you know, and we're not looking at making, you know, big changes there. We're just looking, you know, right. We've had a really good head start this year on this project, probably because of the lack of winter sports activities yet, which hurts us economically in that respect. I mean, but our park crews that would normally be maybe up at Powers Bluff or doing some of the grooming at some of the other trails, cross-country ski and otherwise, have been able to really focus on that park out there. So some of the trees that needed to be cleared due to, you know, Emerald Ash Borer or oak wilt or some of those, those danger trees, they're being taken down. We have the opportunity to get out there and really do some planning. So we're going to get a jump on this. And our hope is that this park will open simultaneously to the other ones. And by May, you know, we're going to have this park open and ready to go.
I'm looking forward to that. We'll be covering that story for you and keeping you up to date on that and any other developments going on over there. But again, really just a congratulations to the area. This is a win for all of us.
Yeah, you know, our Parks Department works really hard on these kind of issues, these kind of missions. And the kind of funny part is, like I said, it will increase capacity. My wife said, that's a gorgeous park. We've never camped out there. We've been through it over the years. And she said, you know, can we get like a reserve site now? I said, you have to go through the regular reservation process, as does everybody. But I'm not exactly sure, you know, if we've brought that aspect online yet in mm-hmm. regard to that part, because I'm not sure exactly what sites we're going to have or how we're going to number those. Mm-hmm. But check our Wood County Parks, you know, the website. Yeah. All that information's online. And, you know, it's our goal, like I said, to have that up and running.
Looking forward to it. Lance, the other thing that I wanted to touch on, you touched on this too, and really this all these two topics I think really bleed together in many ways. They both come down to wanting to bring more economy to our community and raise that profile for the community. And when it comes to that, it sounds like a win-win with the Sierra Park. And then there's the ATV-UTV ordinance. There's been a lot of conversation about this, maybe more than any other topic in this area in the last year and a half, if not longer. It's something that's been kind of stirring, I think, for a while and is starting to,
I think, finally get to a right boil. Personally, I don't think that I think that this is just a matter of time that this does happen, but we have to get it right. And something that Melissa and I were talking about heavily this morning when talking about this subject, I think is very important to take into the conversation. Wherever you fall on this one, I think you should be proud and happy to live in a community that thinks these things through, that works through these things, that talks them out, that figures it out together as a community, as a group. I think we can take a lot of pride in that. Living in an area where we talk these things through, we treat each other like adults, and we have good people making good decisions for everybody. That's politics. That's how these things work. I think we're very fortunate in this area to have the people that we do. I also know that we have some barkers out there. We have some people that like to bark, and I want to reach out to them and ask them to watch your tone, to act like an adult, that if you want to be heard. Have you ever listened to somebody that talked down to you? Have you ever listened to somebody that barked at you and whined at you like a little kid? No, you tend to tune that stuff out. It's no different on the other side. You want to be heard, act like an adult and treat our representatives that way. Treat our board members that way. I encourage you to do that. And I'm saying that because I want you to be heard. I want everybody to be heard. And the only way to get heard is to act like an adult in this day and age. That's how we are going forward. When you were at the meeting yesterday, what did you take away from it?
Well, the first thing I think I want to comment on is what you said. And one of the things I touched on is we are extremely lucky in our area to have conversations with our city leaders, with our town leaders, village leaders. You know, a week ago, I sat down with the village of Port Edwards and just had breakfast. And you know, we have these conversations, and you always want them to be civil because people don't realize where those governmental lines end, where the borders are, or how they blend. You know, you try to be respectful of everybody. The ATV-UTV issue is a big issue, and you know, came to the county and a number of years ago. We've been working on this for probably close to 10 years in the county, and we slowly opened areas of the county up. And what we found was the trouble that we anticipated might occur did not. And as they saw that, other areas said, you know, we probably should get on board with this because there is an economic picture to this. It even has to do with where people want to locate to live. You know, I've had people tell me they're gonna move out of a certain area and locate to another one just because they can get in and out with a recreational vehicle, for instance. I used some numbers last night. I'm not saying they're perfectly accurate because some of them are a little old, but the recreational vehicle industry in Wisconsin is about $11 billion industry, and about $4 billion of that, a little more than that, is in ATVs, UTVs. And it's more of that use is happening with ATVs and UTVs as opposed to a growth in snowmobiles because just weather has dictated that to some extent. Most of the county is now open to ATV, UTV traffic. But then at the same time, the city had a referendum. It was voted down to open everything. And I don't know that it's from a county's perspective, we didn't open everything at once either. So I think there's some, you know, common sense and some thought that goes into this. I think the point that you made that I think at some point it's inevitable. And I think it's as vehicles change too. You know, some people's thought is, you know, the child you saw on the little ATV scrambler running up and down the street is not what we anticipate and not what we saw, for instance, in Grand Rapids or some of the other communities where you have people riding, you know, $20,000 to $50,000 UTVs, you know, with horns, turn signals, quieter than cars is big. And I think that inevitability happens because the demand will occur. But it's going to be incremental. You know, the original ATV, UTV resolution that went out to the city included the 12 to 15-year-old driver who had, you know, the DNR certification. Well, that's probably not going to be acceptable on roads in the city. Actually, if you're under 18, there's some other restrictions, like you have to have a helmet, some other stuff. So, you know, I'm not telling any governmental agency or entity that they should do anything, but, you know, I just hope that, like we did in the county, that you continue to look at it, you continue to get input, and you try to come up with solutions that hopefully work for everyone. Just saying no to anything. You know, if you ask me, should we build it? Do you want to build a jail? No, I don't want to build one. Do I need to build one? Yeah. And a lot of these issues are like that. Do I want to? Maybe, maybe not. But eventually you kind of see that if we're going to, you know, be with the times, if we're going to be a desirable place, if we are going to be that recreational mecca that we talk about, sometimes we have to adapt to some of those uses.
Getting the bill right, getting the ordinance right is key. Getting the wording right, every single syllable right. We're seeing this throughout the state right now when it comes to voter ID laws and wanting to get that correct and getting that specific and everything. It's going on around with a lot of things nowadays. In order to get these things in action, we got to get it right first. We got to do the hard work first and figuring that out. What's best for the community, what's safest for the community, and best for the economics of the community. There is a even ground here of just finding it. That's all it takes, and it takes adults to do that. It takes treating each other right to do that.
I mean, you always fine tune things. I was out in D.C. not this week, the prior week. And by the way, you know, the side story is really interesting. It's a trip that's planned a year ahead of time. It's not a trip. It's a conference, but yeah. Well, I guess it's a trip too because they have to go. But to be out there during a state funeral was a really impressive time to be in Washington. I mean, it's not very often or very many days in anybody's lifetime where you see the pomp and circumstance around the death of a president. So, you know, and you're standing there on the side of the street and you see a caisson rolling up with a horse-drawn carriage, the cavalry, it's pretty impressive. But while I'm out there, one of the things I have the opportunity to do is attend the George Washington Leadership Academy everywhere. And one of the things I take away from that and other things, and I don't make these sayings up. I wish I did. But, you know, one of the things that I take back that I try to do in government, it's doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason. And that takes, like I said, it takes time. Yeah. You have to explain the process. And then at the end of the day, it has to take everybody's concerns into consideration. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the leadership in our city has done. I think I see that in our villages. And I'm hoping that continues. And one of the things, I'll segue here for you real quick. We for the first time ever have a county boardroom, a dedicated county boardroom. We used it for the first time yesterday as part of that new, you know, Justice Center construction project. It will give us the opportunity to set days aside to meet with other governmental leaders from around the area and say, what's your problem today? What are you dealing with? How can we help? How can we coexist? And how do we make things better? And that's my goal always.
You mentioned the Board of Supervisors in the new room and everything. Congrats on that. That's awesome. What are some of the other highlights from the meeting yesterday?
Well, you know, first of all, it was really interesting. We get in this brand new room, which was not – I don't think it was ascertained that we're going to be in there till Monday. So we walk into a brand new room, which never seen the setup in, and you have all the new electronics and computers. And, in fact, the microphone's really nice. They're so sensitive in there that – you actually can't turn them off, so you have to better be really careful what you say. And there's some in the ceiling, and I said, it's so sensitive, not only can it hear any side talk, it could probably pick up what you're thinking. So be careful. But, you know, we have that dedicated room. There's a conference room to the side of that where we don't have to schedule around the different judges. We have not had a designated Wood County boardroom since the mid-'80s, since Branch 3 came to fruition, and that became a courtroom. And there's occasional conflict on scheduling. But within that facility, other than, you know, the new jail, which provides better safety for our officers that are in there, better safety for the, you know, I don't want to call them prisoners, but the detainees, the guests. You know, if you're arrested for something, you haven't, you know, yet been charged and or convicted, you would anticipate that you are going to be in a safe environment. And this actually creates that. We have programming space for rehabilitation, education, and other programs. And it's a big facility, and a lot of the public has seen it. We had an open house there, ribbon cutting. What's interesting, even I got locked in there the other day. I walked in to check a setup on something. I don't know how to get out of here. So we're still working through something. They had to take the elevator down to the first floor and then walk out another exit, and I was hoping I wasn't setting off any alarms. But the opportunities for those who are incarcerated will abound for the county board and for us to have a better meeting space with the community. Fantastic.
It's really good to hear, too, especially because some of the logistics and the ways that this can not only free things up a little bit, but maybe make things move a little smoother, a little faster along the process.
And that couldn't have happened, like we talked about, without the cooperation of the city. I mean, the realization that, you know, we want to, you know, I want to see downtown Wisconsin Rapids thrive. And we've had tremendous changes there over the years. You know, we have, you know, the largest enamel coated paper company in the world is gone, and it's not going to come back. And so what else can we do? And the governmental buildings down there are pretty attractive buildings. And it puts another 400 or 500 employees downtown, you know, visiting those restaurants, coffee shops, retail outlets. So we strive to not only be part, you know, to exist there, but to be part of the community.
Lance, as we're wrapping up here, I did want to touch on one other thing, and that's something that you and I have touched on before, but I always like to bring it up, especially if we have the time, and it's about being a board member. And I don't know if I've asked you this before. We've been talking for years now, so I apologize if I've already asked this.
Probably couldn't have answered it anyway.
But what made you want to be on the board? What made you want to do this all those years ago?
You know, it's really interesting, and I think this is probably lends to the length of time I've been in office and some of those other things. I never had a grand desire to be politically involved anywhere, but I came out of, you know, private industry, and at the time I had, you know, those chambers saying, back then we were a paper town, and everybody involved in government at some level tended to come from those industries. Yeah. And I had the chambers of small businessmen say, you know, you really need to run. We need a different perspective. And I thought, well, I can do my 2 years. And then I can get out of here. Somebody else can do theirs. And, you know, over time you become educated. And then I think the key to that is if you're willing to listen, you know, to cooperate, to collaborate, to compromise, that gets noticed. And, you know, I made a comment the other day, when I finish this term, I'll have been here 30 years. There was no anticipation. I have no desire to be a, you know, typically there's some climbing there. I don't want to be a state legislator. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to, you know, be elected at the federal level. I really want to serve my community like most of the people do in that job. Because let me tell you, you don't get paid. It really is community service. If you broke down the per diems and stuff, we make less than the minimum wage. Yeah. So there's nobody out there doing this for a living. Nobody's insured. It really is public service. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, that becomes part of your being, I guess. And my goal always is to mentor and to try to convince the next generation to get involved.
And that's part of why I bring it up. We want more people to get involved with this. We want more people to be on county boards or just, you know, a local nonprofit boards or anything. Just being a board member and encouraging people to do that more and more.
Yeah, and it takes thick skin to get out there in front of the public and get elected because you get skewered at times. But I can tell you this. If you're interested in serving in some way, I have, I'll call them committees, different commissions that I get to appoint people to that don't have to go through that election process where you can serve the community at a very high level. So if you're interested, my number's available on the website. Give me a call.
We'll get that out there before we wrap up. But to that point, Lance, one of the questions I had lined up for you was asking you, do you enjoy this? And I think that the audience and I can hear it in your voice. I'm sure there are hard days. There are days harder than others and everything. And you mentioned the pay and some of those things. I think we have our answer. You know, you definitely
you have to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be involved. You know, my wife has these conversations with me all the time. You know, you can run again if you promise not to cancel any more family vacations. But it does grow on you. And over time, if you pay attention, you do garner a vast amount of knowledge on a number of issues, departments, and what they're doing. But the day it isn't fun is the day I'm gone.
Lance, appreciate the time. As always, thank you for joining us. If people have follow-up questions and want to know more about some of what we talked about, how can they reach you?
Well, the easiest way, without me spewing a whole bunch of numbers and places, is go to the Wood County website. All my information is there. You'll find my email address, my phone number, all those ways to contact me.
And that is woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Appreciate the time again, Lance. Thanks for joining us. Okay. Looking forward to talking next month.
Thanks, James.
And a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here and recording. We appreciate the work they do here and recording our board meetings and all these other things. Find all of them at their webpage or subscription. Subscribe to their page at YouTube. Type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to the great work they are doing over there. We will have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The IRS is ramping up collection, and if you owe back taxes or have years of unfiled tax returns, listen carefully. Before it's too late, check your eligibility for the Fresh Start program still offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax problems. Call our special hotline number now and find out in minutes if you qualify for these life-changing debt reduction programs. Business or personal, if you're in a payment plan with no end in sight, have unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or finally just want to know your options, call the experts at Republic Tax Relief and stop collections immediately. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau with a 5-star rating from Yelp, this veteran-owned company has the fight you need to take on the IRS. Don't go at it alone. Call their hotline number now, 800-491-8606. That's 800-491-8606. Find out if you qualify today. Call 800-491-8606 or go to republictaxrelief.com.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. Safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin is joining a lawsuit challenging one of President Trump's many new executive orders, specifically the one that says the federal government will not recognize children born in America to parents who are here illegally as citizens. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
President Donald Trump signed a flurry of executive orders on his first day in office, many of them focused on immigration. One of them says the federal government will no longer consider kids born on American soil citizens if their parents are here illegally. That order stands contrary to the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which was ratified in 1868 after the Civil War. It says all people born or naturalized in the U.S. are citizens. Now 20 states are filing a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in Massachusetts. Governor Tony Evers called Trump's order egregious and wrongheaded and said Wisconsin is joining the lawsuit to protect Americans' rights guaranteed in the Constitution. Attorney General Josh Call says the Constitution, federal law, and previous Supreme Court rulings are clear. People born here are citizens. America is one of at least 30 nations with birthright citizenship. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The skies are gray, the nights are long, and the temperatures are cold. The American Psychiatric Association says that about 5% of Americans experience a form of depression known as seasonal affective disorder, called SAD. People with SAD tend to have feelings of hopelessness and decreased motivation to take part in activities that they usually enjoy. Even those who don't technically meet the threshold for this disorder may see spikes in anxiety and depressive symptoms. In fact, some scientists suggest that more than 40% of Americans have these SAD symptoms to some degree in the winter. Less exposure to sunlight can lower our levels of serotonin. So take that walk outside on sunny days or invest in a light therapy lamp. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Beatles and or John Lennon fans will be interested to know that a new documentary about John and Yoko is coming this spring. Magnolia Pictures has announced that One-to-One, John and Yoko, will get an IMAX release April 11th. The film covers an 18-month period of John and Yoko's time in Greenwich Village in the early 1970s and features restored, never-before-seen footage. One-to-One will drop on Max for us streamers in late May of this year. Imagine not getting a role in a movie that is not live-action and has no real humans because the producers tell you, "You look like a Smurf." That is what happened to actor Josh Gad. Gad was up for a role in Avatar in 2009, but was told director James Cameron didn't think he had the right body type. Apparently, Gad has such a strange body, they couldn't even change it with CGI like they did every other actor. For more insights, check out Gad's new book, In Gad We Trust. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered flurries with clearing late, a low close to zero. Sunny and colder tomorrow, a high only of 10 above, but low 20s with sun Friday. Partly sunny but warm for January into the weekend, highs upper 20s. Currently 21 degrees.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We will review the governor's State of the State address and the Republican response and take your phone calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, January 22nd, 2025. Have your host, James, here, and we're joined by right now by our great friend, Ann Lee Peck, Director of PR and Fund Development over at the Opportunity Development Center here in Wisconsin Rapids. Ann, how you been?
Good, good. How about yourself?
Doing good. I feel like we haven't gotten to hang out in the new year, so happy new year to you and the staff and everybody, all the clients and everybody over at the ODC. Love our friends over there, and I hope you guys had a great set of holidays and everything.
We did, we did. And now we're back on track and getting ready for a brand new year of fun and excitement.
A big year, Ann. Yeah. We're going to talk about some great events coming up in a little bit, but before we do, we want to congratulate and celebrate 60 years. It's the 60th anniversary.
Yep, it's ODC's 60th anniversary this year. Hard to believe. And actually, I've been there for more than half of that.
Wow.
So
congratulations.
Yeah. Actually, today is my 33rd anniversary with ODC, believe it or not. So
that's awesome. Congrats, Ann.
Yeah,
that's really fantastic.
Yeah, hard to believe. I've been there for half of its life already.
That's wild to think about, I'm sure, when you take a step back and think about that. I think you and Pam could have a long conversation about that with her here and how long she's been here and everything.
Yep.
And to me, just as somebody who I admire that, when anybody can stay in an industry for that long, that's impressive to me.
Yeah.
But even more impressive when we think about what the ODC does and the work and the impact you make and the... I don't believe that if you even tried, you could count how many lives have been impacted just by you yourself, let alone the staff and all the work that has been done over those decades. This is something that I believe the community can take pride in, too, because none of this happens without an amazing community that supports the ODC.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's just amazing how things have transformed since 1965. You know, what started out as a small group of parents and concerned citizens wanting to do something for their adult children with disabilities after high school and creating a work program that has just completely exploded into, you know, just an amazing, amazing organization and agency to help support people in all aspects of life.
It's amazing to hear the history of this organization. It really is. I like going through this. For one reason, I think it's just cool and it's interesting, and I think that it's something that we can all take pride in here in Central Wisconsin. This is part of your history too, everybody. But also, if you are somebody who is thinking that, hey, this is something in our community we could need, and you know, I should get some like-minded people together and let's see what we can do about it. This is such a prime example of what people can do. A grassroots kind of thing can happen. When people come together on a great cause and something that the community supports.
Yep, absolutely, for sure. Yep. It's very interesting because they're actually, so here in Wisconsin Rapids, it was actually called the Southwood County Sheltered Workshop. And so it was in a location where people with disabilities went to perform work and not be integrated into the community. And then in Marshfield was Marshfield Rehabilitation Workshop that also provided people with disabilities work opportunities in Marshfield. And it was just 5 years after that that the two workshops merged and they became Wood County Workshop. And so it's just the whole evolution has been amazing. And then just another, 5 years after that, we changed the name to Opportunity Development Center. So we've been ODC now since 1975, so 50 years as ODC. And we are just super, super thrilled about, all the changes that we've made and the support that we're providing to people in the community.
How has the organization changed over the last 60 years from your perspective?
Yeah. So, as I was doing some research kind of about celebrating our 60 years, it's interesting to me. Our first annual report was in 1967, 68. We served 167 individuals with disabilities.
Wow.
In Wood County. Mm-hmm. And we offered one program, which was center-based work opportunities. Mm. So today, and back in 23, our numbers were we served over 1,200 individuals in 22 Wisconsin counties.
My goodness.
Looking at the numbers for 2024, I think we're approaching 1,500 mark of people that we've supported. And then our programs and services have really grown. Again, we went from one, you know, the focus was on work for people with disabilities. And now our focus is how do people with disabilities participate in everyday life like everybody else does? And so we're, you know, more than 15, close pushing 20 different programs and services now that we offer and have really just grown to really evolve to support all individuals with disabilities in all aspects of their life.
It's such a it's such an impactful thing, and I think about that original group back in 67 and around that, and you have a handful of people serving 167. And right away, I think that it's got to be evident that, oh, this is a need in our communities. This is something that we can get ahead of, that we can get on top of. And here we are, where, and we flash forward, and all the numbers that you just spoke to us there and everything. I think it takes a minute for them to sit in. I'm lucky I've had this numbers in front of me for a couple of days to register. But when I first looked at them, I had to do a double check and a triple check at that. That's really impressive. It speaks to... It's such groundbreaking work because we're not just talking about you helping these individuals and empower these individuals. That alone is amazing. That alone is fantastic. But these individuals take the ball and run with it. They take that and they go into the community. They work in the community. They do jobs that are needed in this area and jobs that are tailor made for. Quite honestly, that I think that for a long time in our society we didn't realize, but now thanks to the ODC, thanks to these just creating these opportunities, we're seeing more and more of that impact. And you know, there's a lot of talk in not just our area but all rural communities about finding good workers. And here the ODC is kicking them out. they're just helping us find them more and more employers and bring that bridge between employers and these individuals and getting them out there into the workforce.
And
that's just kind of scratching the surface of the work that's being done.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as I think back, you know, again, I've been there quite some time, and change is really difficult. Change is difficult for everybody. And so I'm just super proud of, you know, how the agency has transformed and how the people we're supporting have come along on the ride with us. You know, because again, change is hard and it's scary. And, you know, so how do we do new things and how do we take, you know, small steps to make bigger changes across the community? And so we're just really, really thankful for all that we're doing and the support that we get in the community.
When you first started there, could you imagine, certainly, as you mentioned, the main job there initially helping your clients find employment and building that bridge. The idea that there'd be one day where the ODC would be creating those jobs, Ink Splash, Milkweed Market, that's pretty cool to think about. I can't imagine that was something that was in the, or was it in the thought process early on?
No. Early on, you know, it was, you know, bringing work to the center with local community businesses that brought the work to ODC, and then the individuals produced the work, and then we sent it back. And so, really, I think about if you would look in our building now, there's a small handful of people working within the walls of ODC, because really, it's about, you know, getting people jobs out in the community and getting people connected to their communities, just like you or I do on a daily basis. And so I've seen just a huge transformation in the time that I've been there. At one time, you would have seen 250 people working in our building. And today there's maybe 15 working in the building on some of those projects. Yeah. But you know, again, exploring all of the things that you and I like to explore, that's what we're supporting people with disabilities to do. And so, you know, whether that's working at a business, whether it's starting their own business, whether it's, you know, connecting to their community or to a local group or, you know, just whatever their passion is. So we're real excited about that.
So many, we have so many individuals out there that all they need is an opportunity. Give them a foot in the door and they will shine. And so much of the ODC is doing that. But that's one step of it. Before that step, there's something that the ODC does that I think is just as noteworthy, and that's empowering these individuals, giving them confidence, the focus on mental health and how they are doing individually as human beings. That goes so far. And when you do that, you get really good employees. You get people that really can impact a community and add to the community. Is that what you've seen?
Yeah, definitely. And I think part of it is that, you know, we really try and work with people where they're at. You know, everybody is at different phases in their life and, you know, just different things going on in their life. And so, you know, our goal is really to get to know the individuals and support them with whatever they need at that time to make them successful in whatever they're trying to achieve. You know, I give huge shout out and kudos to our staff that really, you know, we support people where they're at and what they need and be flexible around that so that everybody has the opportunity to be successful.
And I think that one of the greater things in life, and I noticed this from a young age, and I'm seeing it even more and more nowadays, is when you speak up for the voiceless, when you speak up for people that cannot speak for themselves or tend to not be heard. It's all well and good for me to come out and talk very strongly about Jewish rights or something like that. Mm-hmm. I got a little bit of stake in the game. I'm probably going to do that. But it means so much more when somebody that doesn't have a stake in the game comes out and defends that and supports that. And it's a similar thing here with this, where another thing that the ODC does has done is take away a lot of the prejudices and a lot of the things that exist for your clientele and for individuals that don't deserve it, quite bluntly, and deserve an open book and an opportunity to just be treated as they are as human beings. It seems like something that I think in today's day and age seems pretty understandable, and I think most people can wrap their minds around pretty well. But this wasn't always the case, especially when you first started. That work that has been done, mm-hmm. there's no words, Anne, to put it to describe like what that has done for not just our community, but our society.
Yep. And I think back to, again, when I first started that, you know, we as the professionals, quote, professionals, you know, we knew what was best for people with disabilities. So we, you know, made decisions for them. And really, it's about, like you said, empowering the individuals to understand what their rights are and how to give them a voice and how to advocate for themselves. And I've, really just seen the transformation of having people with disabilities be part of all of these changes and transformation, because when it comes down to it, they're the ones, you know, that that are benefiting from things. You know, none of us like to be told what to do or what's best for us, right? So we're working on, you know, giving the information so people can make the best decisions for them and take advantage of the opportunities that are out there.
And I think along with that, Anne, one of the things that stands out to me is with the rise in conversation about mental health, I feel like this area has been that much more prepared to have those conversations because in some ways we've had them already with the ODC or with other organizations in our community. And I think that's only made us stronger as a community and better for it. And real quick, before we go on to some of the events coming up and everything, I know I do this a lot and I can't help myself. I'm not going to apologize. I love the ODC and I'm so thankful to the work over there on a personal level for what they did for my family and my Aunt Pat and empowering her and giving her an opportunity and giving her life back, to be blunt. She had a good life and it wasn't that she was suffering, but you don't know what you don't miss until you know it's not there. And she missed out on a lot in life for many years. And it was the work that the ODC did with her and the work she did on herself to get her to the point now where I'm not really sure where she is. Mm-hmm. I know she's traveling. I know that much. I know she's out there bopping around somewhere and having a good time. I just haven't talked to her in a couple of weeks, so I'm not sure exactly where she is. But that if you'd have told me that when I was a kid, I'd have laughed at you. Mm-hmm. I'd have never believed it. Mm-hmm. And I get just thinking about it, man. I just get emotional thinking about it because she's one of the most amazing human beings I'll ever know.
Yep.
And she deserves that life.
Yep.
That's one story.
Yep.
That's just one story out of the thousands of stories that have come over the last 60 years.
Yep.
A big thank you to the ODC, to all the staff over there, not just currently, but over the years that have worked there. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much. And we appreciate you and all you do and all the support from our community.
We are speaking with Anne Liepeck from the ODC, and we have some really cool events coming up. And one of them, we are just actually talking with Jeff Allen. He joined us on Midday Magazine here a little while ago. We were talking with him. Amazing guy and hilarious. Got a really good show coming up on the 31st, it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we're happy to be partnering with the Arts Council to bring Jeff Allen Comedy Show. And $3 from every ticket sold is going to be donated back to ODC's Opportunity for Hope Mental Health Clinic. For those of you that aren't aware, you know, Jeff Allen has some of his own addiction and mental health history as well. And so really we're fortunate and thankful to be partnering with him and to hear kind of his story and you know, to try and do some more good in our community. And so we're thankful for the Arts Council and for Jeff for donating ticket sales back. So
when you and Sally were in and the three of us were talking with Jeff and everything, it was one of those things that became very clear right away, the connection here and how this, it just falls in. Now this does fall into place really well. And, oh, this works with this and everything. And just a big tip of the hat to everybody for making this happen too. So the logistics of these things can be a little complicated sometimes. To get it all worked out to this point where we're doing this, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And a great way to certainly promote our friends at the Arts Council. We appreciate Sally and the gang over there so much, bringing so much culture and great acts to our area. But like Sally and like our ODC and like many people that we get to talk to here on their show, that's not enough for them. They want to do more. Mm-hmm. They want to say, okay, we're bringing this awesome comedic act to our community. That's cool. That could be well enough, but no, we're going to go an extra mile here and see how we can actually not only promote this great or a part of the ODC, but benefit that part of the ODC.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, we're so thankful.
And to, you know, to the point of what Jeff does with his show, I don't know that we can really put put it completely how important it is to be that face to this and bringing a name to it and all and being as honest as he is with it, while also finding a great comedic spin. Two things that Jeff is very good at. I always admire people that can laugh at themselves or that can laugh at life. And Jeff is very good at that.
Yeah.
I think it only helps, again, going back to the mental health conversation and so many other things that we've talked about over the years, and I think it really only makes these conversations that much more accessible to everybody, and people feel more and more comfortable talking about these things when you got a comedian like that doing such a great job up there. That show is coming up at the end of the month on the 31st. Encourage you to go to the odcinc.com to find more information, or you can go to savorthearts.com and find information that way as well. We'll be talking about the show, and we actually, between us and Sally, gave us a set of tickets we're going to be giving away. We're looking forward to doing that. So we're going to have some of our listeners joining you guys for the show.
Awesome.
We also have Entertainment to Empower coming up. This is a really cool one, Anna. I cannot wait to dive into this with you.
Yeah. So it's actually brand new. I'm trying something a little bit new this year. And we're actually hosting it in Marshfield. We don't always host events in Marshfield. But yeah, so we have Entertainment to Empower coming up on March 13th. It's a Thursday evening. It'll be hosted at Hotel Marshfield. And we're just real excited. The entertainment is comedy sports out of Milwaukee.
So good.
So we haven't had the opportunity to really see comedy sports, but as I understand it, it's similar to Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes.
And there's a referee and things like that. And so we're just super excited to be bringing an event back to the Marshfield area. It's been several years since we've done that. And so we'd love to see people join us. If you're looking for more information, again, you can go to our website. We are currently seeking some sponsorship opportunities as well. And again, all of that is on our website. But it's sure to be just a fun night. Again, celebrating our 60th anniversary. We'd love to have people join us. If people have questions, they can certainly give us a call and reach out. But
Comedy sports are fantastic, and even if you've seen them once, twice, 100 times, you haven't seen them like this, because every show is a new one. Every show is unique and different and hilarious. That is part of the – there is no reruns in improv. It's one of the things I love about it, and it's they do such a great job with this. It's going to be a really, really fun show. Encourage you to look at getting into tickets, getting tickets and making plans for this one. And to any businesses out there, I mention this all the time. This is marketing 101 for you. One of the best ways to advertise your business is attaching it to a nonprofit. And especially if that nonprofit happens to have some history in an area, some notoriety in the area, some respect in the area. Well, there you go with the ODC. You just heard Ann and I talking about 60 years of this and how well this community has supported this area. When you put your business next to the ODC, you are not only promoting your business, you're showing you support your community, you're backing our nonprofits, and there is no dollar sign you can put on that marketing-wise. There's no way you could, hey, I'm giving, you know, how much would it cost me to get this? There is no number for that.
Right.
You can do that by being a part of this great event and have a great time with it as well. To all business out there, cannot encourage you enough to reach out to the ODC and be a part of these things, whether it's Entertainment to Empower or it's some other events they got coming up. I just want to touch on one of them right now. And then when you join us in the next couple of months, we'll talk more about Run, Walk, Rock and Roll and everything. But the For Hope Golf Benefit at Sand Valley is coming up. I know it seems a couple months away, but that's going to come up real quick.
Yep, it's going to come up real quick. Yep, and we're super excited about that as well. That's going to be happening on May 15th. So again, that is something that we utilize to support our Opportunity for Hope Mental Health Clinic as well. Yeah. It's a very great event. Sand Valley is just amazing, and we just get such great feedback from the course. We do the sandbox, which is the par three, and so it's a really great event, and we're hoping for great weather again this year.
It's another one of those events, too, where we're always looking for good sponsors and we're looking for people to be a part of it. So whether it is Entertainment to Empower or it is the For Hope Golf Benefit or any of the great events going on with the ODC, again, this is another one of those great marketing opportunities for you. Jump on it, be a part of this, and have your name associated with one of our stronger and more respected nonprofits in our area. And all the things we have talked about today, if people want to follow up, find out more about the services or any of the above, how can they do that?
Yeah, so you can go to our website at odcinc.com or give us a call at 715-424-2712. We'd be happy to chat and give you some information.
Want to encourage you as well to follow them on social media. It's a great way to keep up to date on the things they are doing. Share their posts. You just never know who might see them otherwise. Be sure to check out Ink Splash and Milkweed Market and so many of the great things waiting for you over at the ODC. And thanks so much again for the time. We'll talk real soon.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Again, that website, odcinc.com, odcinc.com. That'll do it for now, but we'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going...
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll review Governor Evers' State of the State address with State Senator Jeff Smith and Assembly Assistant Minority Leader Kaylin Haywood.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst.
they think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you tell
us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
CBS News special report. A new wildfire in Southern California has prompted mandatory evacuation orders. The Hughes Fire is burning near Castaic, northwest of Los Angeles.
Pretty scary, and I'm not going to take the risk. I'm going.
Strong wind gusts are fanning the flames.
I was in a meeting, and within 10 minutes, it went to from like 500 to like 3,000 acres, so it went quick.
Fire has now burned more than 5,000 acres at 0% contained. There's a new CBS News poll on the fires and the rebuilding efforts, as correspondent Matt Piper reports.
There's widespread support nationwide for providing federal relief and disaster funds to help Los Angeles fight and recover from the wildfires. 86% think Congress should authorize such relief. When it comes to party, 95% of Democrats say yes, Congress should help. 85% of independents think so, while 79% of Republicans do.
Southern California may finally get some rain this weekend, but that could trigger mudslides. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m.